from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll talk with local magicians Christian and Catalina about the upcoming Indianapolis Winter Magic Fest.
I'll learn about the story of my life, the cabaret musical on stage right now at Footlight Musicals.
And I'll take a look at the Actors Theater of Indiana's production of 39 Steps. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Surprising, innovative, entrancing. How did they do that? These are just some of the words you'll be using after you attend one of the many events at the 2015 Indianapolis Winter Magic Festival, running from January 22nd through the 25th and sponsored by Indie Fringe. As Travis DiNicola found out from local magicians Christian and Catalina, this event will get you out of the house in January just when you need a boost to your spirits.
Christian, Catalina, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you both.
And we're always happy to see you.
Yes. Thanks. Great, Travis.
So I am looking forward to this year's Indianapolis Winter Magic Fest. I've gone every year. It is always a ton of fun. It's in its fifth year, and it just keeps getting bigger and better each and every year. Let's start by just talking about what basically is the Winter Magic Fest? It's through Fringe. Tell me a little bit about it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you love magic, you have to come.
It's well, there
just
you go.
A weekend full of magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing is that there's six different performers, so you get to see a whole variety of different types of magic. And so this is your chance to just fully immerse into magic for 3 or 4 days.
To just like see show after show after
That's
show
right.
and all different types of shows. And what's really cool about this year is, having you guys involved with it, the magicians that are a part of it have been, they're also going to be representing the United States in a huge international magic competition. Tell me about this. What is FISM? What does that stand for? And why does it sound like something you would drink?
All right. Well, FISM actually stands for Fabrique International Society of Magicians. It's a French word.
You're so close. It's Federation International.
Are you sure it wasn't Fabrique?
No, it's Federation.
Fragrance? I don't know. But it's French. And and it's been around since 1948. Mm-hmm. And it happens once every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they do is that it's like the Olympics of magic. So mm-hmm. they bring magicians from all over the world to wherever this – because the location changes, just like the Olympics.
Okay.
The last one was in China, and this one is in Italy.
Correct. Hmm.
And it also has all kinds of different categories. So you'll have card magic or coin magic, close-up magic, stage magic – magic invention.
Manipulation.
Mm-hmm. There's so many categories.
So instead of like decathlon or ice skating, they could be doing cups and balls or...
Very much like that,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
sawing
okay.
the girl in half, there you go.
Yep.
And so it's
who can do it the fastest? What?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think they have that. They
yeah, that sounds good.
Which makes it a very interesting thing because, of course, art is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And so a contest like this, you know, you don't take it too serious because it's subjective. What you're really going to is to have fun, to do the best you can, and to watch other acts and have the fellowship and the fun of having the greatest magicians in the world all hang out together for a week.
And each one's representing, or teams of them are representing their countries.
That's correct.
Right. So
yeah.
There's a United States team, there's an Italian team, a French team, what have you, right?
It's actually FISM is divided into different... first, you have to have sub-championships, so to speak, sub-competitions, mm-hmm. like FISM Europe. There's a FISM Africa, FISM Asia, FISM North America is what we fall in with Canada and, you know, the United States. So, yes, our team is the North American team that's mm-hmm. going to be going.
Okay. And so now all the magicians that are coming to the Indy Winter Magic Fest basically are FISM athletes?
Contestants.
Contestants.
Yes.
Well, four of them are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct. Four of them are, yes.
Okay.
And the other two that we have, so there's six total, the other two are already champions, not of FISM, but of American championships that they competed
okay.
in.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is really cool because the two of you, now you do your show Married to Magic. You've done a lot of other fun shows I've seen you in over the years, whether it's been with Fringe or the shows that you do at the Hilton on weekends, and really great, a lot of medalist work. And you know I love your work, guys. I'm a big fan. You also, I mean, you're very involved in the magic community, and so you know these magicians and have been really involved in selecting them and bringing them here, right? So,
yes.
I mean, essentially, you kind of curated the Winter Magic Fest.
Well, what an opportunity. I mean, since the competition is in Italy this summer, in July, mm-hmm. this is a perfect opportunity to see them because, again, the next one doesn't happen for 3 more years.
Yeah.
So,
and this is probably the only time, I would say, that the public would get to see this many champions of magic in one in
location.
One place. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just rare to see that. Very rare. In fact, I can't think of anywhere that it's going to happen mm-hmm. for the public before the actual championships.
Cool. So tell me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Tell me about the magicians that are going to
I was going to say, everybody has a different style. I was just thinking about them.
Okay. So who do we got?
So we can probably start with Trent James.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, he's 17.
No, he's 18 now.
Is he 18 now?
I think he just turned 18 a week
ago. Okay, I was
going to
say that was soon because last time I remember 17. He's amazing. For 17, he's so confident.
He's very, very good. Mm-hmm. He is so good at that age that I have tried to hit him with my car in the parking lot because we just don't need people that good and be so young.
And where's he from?
Super guy.
Yeah, Chicago.
And what is it, stage or sleight of hand or what type of stuff does he do?
He's
going to
be doing stage.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And for people who are thinking, okay, what are they talking about? Stage magic, basically sort of bigger illusions.
Now, we should clarify something, mm-hmm. and that is there's going to be two kinds of shows, so to speak. There'll be their shows, which will run 45 to 50 minutes, which is going to be just them doing their own, so to speak, hour show.
So each of the six performers will have, you know, 45 to 50 minute show. That is correct.
But there'll be two shows during the festival where they will all get up and do their 10-minute routine that is their competition act that you'll see at FISM. So,
and that's called the World Showcase, World Champions Magic Showcase.
And that's going to happen both on Thursday night and Saturday night of the Winter Magic Fest? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that will be a so much different show than their – I mean, the 45-minute shows are going to be great and you'll enjoy them, but the World – Magic Championship show.
Because they're bringing out their best of their best in a very tight 10-minute performance, if that's what they're using to compete with internationally. And that'll be really fun to see.
Yes, that will be – I will be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I really will.
So it's interesting that you get to see both, their 10-minute piece and also their longer show.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And the 10-minute piece might or might not be in their longer show. So
Sure.
That's
sure.
why you want to catch that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Trent, a fantastic young man, very clever.
Definitely up and comer in the magic world.
Absolutely. You'll see more of him in the next decade.
And you may have already seen him because he's been to the Winter Magic Festival before.
Yes, he has.
And that's where I bring him up first with Trigg Watson. He's also coming. He was here.
Trigg's coming back.
Yeah,
very talented kid.
Yep, from Texas.
Yes. Okay.
And been working on new stuff. Really excited to see him. Definitely an out of the box thinker. Who's next, baby?
Then there is Michael Dardant out of New Orleans.
Yeah.
He, very interesting. I think he's comedic. He's fun. He's funny.
He is out there.
But I like him.
He is out there. He really will make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But not only will he make you laugh, but he is very clever. He takes those left turns that you don't expect. You're along for the ride and suddenly, wow, what just happened? But I think you're really going to enjoy him. And he brings a flavor. He's from New Orleans, and he'll bring that flavor in his performance.
And he'll also bring his experience as a street performer into his act. So you'll definitely see that a little bit edgy.
Yes.
You know, you bring up the comedy aspect. I mean, there's a lot of comedy in the routines that you guys do. A lot of my favorite magicians, comedy becomes a big part of it. But you're not necessarily thinking, oh, I'm going to see a comedy show. I'm going to see a magic show and stuff. But not all magic has to have comedy, right?
No. Yeah, I mean, but Copperfield is a great example of, not saying that he doesn't have a few humorous moments in the show, but he is.
He's not a laugh riot.
No, not at all. He's not a comedy magician. So that goes back to, again, when we talk about FISM and all the different categories.
Yeah.
And you're right. Comedy is one of the categories, too.
That's right.
Okay.
And like Hannibal. Hannibal's coming from North Carolina.
Okay.
And he is a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be doing the close-up, and you'll find him. I think his stories are very personal and personal. So you'll but it's also it's fun, but not in that laugh comedic way you're talking about. But you will enjoy the story and the magic that
goes
along with it.
There's a lot of these moments. There's a lot of like, moments in his show. You're like, oh, that's so nice and sweet,
and something that you can relate to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. A lot of what's the word I'm looking for? You know, when you I can't think of the word. I'll think of it later after this interview.
Probably.
It's nostalgic.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, good word, good word.
Mm-hmm. Show. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are the four competitors for FISM.
The FISM competitors.
Yeah. And then we have two more. Mm-hmm. We have Oscar Munoz, who's coming from Texas.
I've heard a lot about him. I've never seen him perform before, but tell me a bit more.
Now, Oscar is actually only one of seven people who won the Gold Cups through the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
Okay.
So he competed anyone. And that's pretty prestigious.
Very, very prestigious.
Yes. But super, super nice guy. He will have a funny show. He's very comedic.
And is his also stage, or is it more smaller?
Actually, he can do both. Mm-hmm. He won the Gold Cups for close-up, but he can actually do both.
Okay. He's a very funny
guy. He's versatile, yes.
And, he's great, I think, from Texas. How do you even describe Oscar? I mean, he's just hilarious.
I like him.
Ex-Marine as well.
Hmm. Yeah.
So you wouldn't expect those two to go together.
No.
Ex-Marine and very funny, but he's quite funny. Okay.
And then we have Eric DeCamps coming out of the East Coast.
Okay.
And he is a winner. He won the Gold Medal of Excellence through the Society of American Magicians for close-up. Mm-hmm. So, again, see, there's the two main magic societies here in the United States, the IBM and the SAM. Mm-hmm. So they're here because
International Brotherhood of Magicians
correct.
And Society
now,
of
American
both
Magicians.
Both the awards they won, the Gold Cups and the
Gold Medal.
So what makes this so prestigious is, for instance, you could win first place at a competition, and you get first place, and thank you very much for winning.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're extra, extra good, then you're awarded the Gold Cups or the Gold Shield.
How important,
so it's not just,
Gold medal. Basically.
Gold medal, sorry.
Yeah. How important is this to a professional magician? Because, you know, people may be listening going, you know, this is cool that they're talking about this and these magicians are coming in have won or competed in these things. But, you know, a lot of people may not even be aware that there are magic competitions or awards or anything like this. I mean, you know, as you said earlier, Christian, it's in a lot of it's very subjective, judges determine who wins, and does it make a difference in a magician's career to be able to say, like, you know, I won the Gold Cups?
Well, first they train and work hard for many, many, many years to win a competition like that. So they put their heart and soul into a 10-minute routine to win. So I think
so. It's like a gymnast, really.
It is. It takes years.
I think a famous quote. There's a guy named Lance Burton who played Vegas for 15 years. Mm-hmm. He actually won FISM. Many, many, many years ago. And a comment he had about his winning act, which he always did in his show, is he said at the end of his act, and I think this will help put it in perspective, he said, what you just witnessed was 20 years of my life in 10 minutes.
Hmm. Wow.
So personally, I think it's very rewarding.
Yeah.
I think that's why people do the competition, because it's just a goal they have and they're really striving to be the best they can at their craft.
Yes.
And so that's why they do the competitions.
Now, will it, for some people, it can help change their life. And some people, they'll go, they'll win, and they just go back to their, like there's a guy in Michigan who won FISM. And, you know, he does travel around to a lot of magic conventions to perform his act. But, I mean, he doesn't do this professionally. I don't know, what does he do?
Well, it could be just in a period of your life, you really loved magic. And you started getting into the magic community, and you started to compete.
And set that as a goal.
That's right. But you're right. As far as being a professional, most people, the public out there, they don't know.
Right.
And so it doesn't really mean anything to them to say, I won the gold medal.
But you guys are really excited about it, which is really cool.
Yeah. It's our field.
Exactly. And for you, I mean, it means a lot. And for other, you know, magicians, whether they're professional or amateur and stuff, to know that these, you know, the magicians that are coming in have competed or representing or a big part of this. I mean, that's a very important thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's great for the public to know a little bit of the history of magic and how competitions work.
Right. Yes, and as much as we love them, and the competitions force us to push ourselves, we're also all smart to know that in the end, it's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't get too wrapped around the axle on, oh, gosh, he won or he got second or he got third. It's the idea of us going and helping to push our art forward and forcing us to go in new directions. And that's the fun of it. That's really what we want.
Very, very cool. Well, I want to thank you guys both for coming into Art of the Matter today. It is always a pleasure to chat with you both. And I am really looking forward to this year's Indianapolis Winter Magic Fest and seeing some great talent on our stages here.
Well, we're going
to wait. Should we put out when it is?
Sure.
Should January 22nd through the 25th. And please go to indiefringe.org for all the information on the performers, and you can buy tickets right off the website.
Yes, and we're looking forward to seeing you and all of you in Indianapolis to come out. And, oh, and we should also mention that it's not that expensive.
No.
What's the price?
Well, you can buy magic passes if you want to buy multiple performances, which we recommend, because you're going to love all the performers, so see as many as you can.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, just go to the website. They've got all the pricing.
Yeah, a lot of different packages and deals.
They do.
Well as tie-ins to the show The Illusionist, the touring show, which is coming into town as well. You can get a package that brings them both together, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Great to see you.
Thanks Travis. You too.
Travis DiNicola with local magicians Christian and Catalina. You can learn more about them at their website, Married2Magic. That's marriedthenumeral2magic.com. For information about the Indianapolis Winter Magic Festival taking place January 22nd through the 25th, visit IndieFringe.org. Again, IndieFringe.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Alvin and Thomas met as children and became best friends. Decades have passed and Thomas has left the town where they had many adventures together. Now he comes home to write Alvin's eulogy and to try to figure out how deeply their lives were intertwined. The simple plot does not begin to capture the soaring beauty, poignancy, and humor of The Story of My Life, Footlight Musical's cabaret show on stage right now. Sharon Gamble invited Graham Brinklow and Tim Sproutlin, Alvin and Thomas respectively, to talk about the piece with music and lyrics by Neil Bartram and book by Brian Hill.
So, how did this project come to be? I'm looking at you, Tim.
Okay, I'll make a long story very short.
Oh, no. We want all the details.
About almost 4 years ago, or just quite 4 years ago, I did a cabaret show based upon the butterfly effect. And I found this song called The Butterfly.
For people who are a little bleary on what the butterfly effect is.
The butterfly effect is how something that can happen here in the present has a ripple effect. And we talk about it quite a bit in the show. It's said that the flap of a butterfly can affect the weather thousands of miles away from where it's flapping. So I took it as, you know, an emotional thing. Things that we put out has a ripple effect. Anyway, months later, I was so taken by the song The Butterfly that I listened to the show that it came from, which is The Story of My Life. And it was just one of those things that I had to do it. And so that was the birth of this show. Mm-hmm. And not only did I have to do it, but after listening to it, I knew that Graham Brinklow would have to do it with me.
Why? You better explain that, because he's sitting right here
because
and he wants
to
so
know. Because he's so well-suited. and Graham is such a great actor, but even in his presence, he has an innocence. And
it's radio. They can't see you. It's okay to grin wickedly.
he just puts off the character of Alvin so well. And I knew that he had it in him. And so I gave him the music, and I'll let him tell the rest.
I was just taken with it right away. I'd never heard of it before. And I wrote a Facebook thing about it a couple days ago, how this time of year especially, I'm very taken with the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine recommended it in high school, and it has honestly, literally saved my life in many ways. That there are times when I've been down, and I'll watch it in July and just think, you know, like the butterfly effect. There's so much things, little tiny things that we do affect lives of millions of people that we don't even know. And this play represents that. And it brings it about how friendships come and go, but how that we still really need to interact with each other. And just the little things you do, you have no idea what's happening, you know, around you and how that affects that. So I was very taken with it. And I love the music. And Tim and I had worked on
When Pigs Fly.
When Pigs Fly at Theater on the Square together and just had a blast. And we'd known each other for years and years and years before that.
And that's been a lot of years ago, and people still talk about that production.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, the first production of that. But Tim and I met probably in like fall of 91. So we've known each other for a long time, mostly because we're up for the same part sometimes. back when I was thinner and my voice was a little higher, and I could still pull off playing an ingenue male. So we were up for the same
thing. Is it one of those where you walk into the audition and it's like, no, not you again?
Yeah, kind of like, why am I here, Tim Scranton?
So, oh, my.
And vice versa sometimes. So
truly.
So we've known each other for this, so we really had a great time working on that show together. So the minute he said this, it was like, yes, let's do this. And I hadn't done shows for a very long time. And just the fact that he thought enough of me to say, yes, this is something that Graham Brinkley needs to do, really made me feel very good. And I loved it also because I get to play lots of different ages, going from kindergarten all the way up into, you know, however old we're thinking our characters are supposed to be, you know, kind of present time. So, and everything in between. So, you know, reliving your adolescence and your early 20s and all of that stuff. So being able to pull that out of my memories, and it's a really good acting exercise as well. It's a great piece.
I want to get back to this play in a moment, but what's kept you off stage for a while?
I was, lots of different things. I was trying to go back to school to become a social, to get an MSW. Mm-hmm. And so I was working nights a lot, and I thought I needed that to get the job where I have. I work for Indiana Youth Group, and I actually got the job without that. And so now, but again, my job has me working a lot of nights too. So,
sure.
It's mostly this time frame from like December through March is a really good time slot for me to do theater. So I try to do stuff at that time, which is when this play was 4 years ago as well.
Any fears about getting back into theater?
Oh, no. I've been doing stuff again these past couple of years. I was in Les Mis last year and La Cage aux Folles at Footlight. And so I've been dabbling back into it. As soon as I got back and I said, man, I've wasted 6 years of my life by not staying in it.
Like riding bicycle, huh?
Exactly.
Comes
I
right
love
back
it.
To you.
Just love it.
So there's not been a production of this in Indy, I don't think.
Only the one that we did. We did a limited run for Theater Non Nobis almost 3 years ago.
Okay. Okay. So tell the story of tell us a little bit about the original creators and tell the story of this play.
Well, Graham mentioned It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll get back to that. our characters, I play Thomas and he plays Alvin. And without giving too much away, at the top of the show, I come back to the bookstore that his father owned and eventually he took ownership of. And I am there to write Alvin's eulogy.
Hmm.
And through that process, I relive our childhood and our adult years. And not all of it good. We're both sort of, as children, we learn Alvin is an eccentric and a little too strange for the average 6-year-old. And my characters, I think of him as slightly a social phobe. And he bonded with Alvin only because of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And so these outcasts, as it were, became best friends. So we spent a lot of time together as children. And then as we become adults and I go off to college, we learned, even through resistance, let's say, we learn the effect of those childhood years and what they have on my character and how they keep entering the realm of my life.
Sure.
Jump in?
I think Alvin, we find out, was his mother died when he was 5. We find that out pretty much at the beginning of the show. And his father was kind of, we kind of get the feeling that he's kind of distant. So Thomas is kind of his only link to the world.
He and becomes your family.
He's yep. Definitely. He is more than a friend and maybe not quite a sibling, but maybe more than a sibling. Who knows? Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very kind of a needy thing. And at the same time, he is himself, and he is awkward and odd and outcast. And it's hard on Thomas, I think, because he wants to protect Alvin, but Alvin also doesn't want to fit in with the status quo. And that puts Tom on the out sometimes as well, because, you know, then people look at him like, why are you friends with this guy? They're kind of like unlikely friends. One of the things I kind of link Thomas and Alvin to, it's the book. The book was about Owen Meany, but the movie was called Simon Birch. And it's very similar kind of outcast, two young boys, how they're, you know, they were really each other's family. They, you know, they both had family concerns. Same, very similar thing, or maybe like Stand By Me, or you know, or you know, there's other young teenage or preteen guys and their relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think there's not a lot of musicals about that, and
no.
So I think this is really, really, really interesting.
Is there anything that grounds this in a particular place or time, or is it more universal?
The year's never even mentioned. Mm-hmm. When you say universal, I don't want it to sound whoo, but
sure.
But at the same time, you know, it's easy enough to say when I walk onto that stage that we are in the present, and it's 40 years to that point that mm-hmm. we live out.
Mm-hmm. The setup I've heard lends itself well to ballads,
mm-hmm.
but I'm guessing there's some music that goes beyond that in this show.
A lot of the stuff has been compared to Sondheim-esque type stuff. It's very wordy. And some of it is, especially a lot of the stuff that Graham does, is almost patter. But there are also just some lovely ballads that, with the exception of The Butterfly and perhaps maybe one of Graham's songs, so many of these songs, like Sondheim, are so show specific, because the music. The music takes over the dialogue in a lot of ways.
And I think the gentleman who put this show together on Broadway also worked very closely with Richard Maltby of Maltby and Shire, did A Baby and Closer Than Ever. And, mm-hmm. and so there's a lot of his influence in some of the songs as well, which is also kind of the same thing, very story-driven. Some of the songs, again, if you like pull songs out of Baby or Closer Than Ever, they don't quite – not really sure. In fact, a lot of Closer to Ever songs were songs that were pulled out of Baby. So it's the same type of a thing that
okay,
it's,
sure.
it doesn't quite make sense without being in the story, but
right.
but really interesting to listen to.
Realistic set, this bookstore where we're having these flashbacks and
no.
memories? No.
There's just a very abstract counter. There's the podium, which sometimes represents a funeral parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And a ladder.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Because we take you in and out of the present. And sometimes in three lines, you're back and forth.
Wow. Good lighting design.
Yes.
Yes. And we're fortunate to have Joanne Johnson doing just
oh,
that.
Oh, great. And then choreography?
None. No.
They said giddily.
It's just not that kind of a show. I mean, we keep moving, but no.
We're telling a lot of stories during the song, so
sure.
it's kind of like we're there in the moment, and we're visualizing, and we're helping the audience visualize different things.
And because this show sits in what Footlight Musicals calls their cabaret space,
mm-hmm.
the audience is right on the stage with us.
Perfect.
And so a small stage has been built to house our story. So, no, there will be no shuffle ball changes.
Jazz Square.
No intermission?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, there's going to be.
Well, good, because you get a chance to be off stage and catch your breath.
Right. Absolutely.
We did put an intermission in. It was not supposed to be originally, but we put one in just because we you know, when we're on stage for, you know, 90 minutes, that's a lot.
Yeah, because so. Lots of times someone says musical, especially a musical with a Broadway past, and people picture a cast of thousands. But with just you two, you're carrying the weight.
True. Right. And I also think that for the audience's sake, you know, most folks have not seen or heard the music from this piece. And it's, you know, I don't want to paint a picture that it's a dark and dramatic show. Mm-hmm. It's very light in lots of places, but it deals with serious issues. And I think the audience needs a break. Mm-hmm. It's a lot to take in.
This may not make sense outside the context, but do you each have a favorite line?
Yes. Do you?
There's just too many. I'm sure I would if I had time to think about it, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I love the line, relationships thrive or dissolve without our knowing why. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good one. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but that is a good one.
We'll just have to come see.
Yes.
Sharon Gamble with Graham Brinklow and Tim Spradlin. Alvin and Thomas in The Story of My Life. Footlight Musical's cabaret show running through January 25th. You can learn more at footlight.org. That's footlite.org. Footlight.org.
All right, Travis, we have
sure.
a cold, frosty beverage set aside in the fridge, actually several. We have some typical snack food. We have some popcorn, some hot wings. We are ready for
great.
Sunday night's game.
Sunday.
We got
some
all
football.
Our Colts gear lined up. But you know what? There's this great old saying from ancient times that promotes a healthy mind in a healthy body. So we want to be well-rounded. So we're going to suggest some arts events to balance
Mix
your big
it up
football
a little bit.
Week. If you're a regular listener, you know it's time for our calendar that we call
What'll We Do? Yes.
Colts edition.
The Colts edition. Well, some things to start thinking about. You know, Sharon, you mentioned that it's you know, it is winter and it's a little cold, but not too soon, I think, to start thinking about something hot, hot, hot.
What's that?
Well, that would be Carnaval Brazil.
Ooh.
Yeah, and it's actually taking place on Valentine's Day. I know this is a
Aww.
Little ways out, but I want to start planning for this now. Saturday, February 14th from 10 to 3 up at the Jazz Kitchen. Cultural Cannibals. And if you know these guys, you love these guys. Of course, we got DJ Kyle Long, but also Archer Silva, who is a great visual artist and is part of the Cultural Cannibals group. And he's actually been out in California in grad school, is coming back for this special performance where they're going to have all sorts of Brazilian beers and food
Ooh.
And music and visuals and big screens displaying the Carnival Parade in Rio. And it's all taking place. You can get advanced tickets if you check out culturalcannibals.com. And again, this is going to be at the Jazz Kitchen on Valentine's Day. Not too soon to plan for some good hot, hot fun.
Well, I'll see your Valentine's Day and raise you one other Valentine's Day event.
Yes, what would that be?
All in the service of planning early. You know, people do feel the pressure of planning the perfect evening for Valentine's Day. So if the event Travis just told us about doesn't float your boat, you might think about an event where Blair Clark and Heather Ramsey Clark will bring their music to the stage for a one-of-a-kind evening of romance. This is for people 21 and over. Where? At the Warehouse.
Where? The Warehouse?
The Warehouse on Saturday, February 14th. There'll be, of course, a special treat, an evening of champagne, strawberries, and duets. And the evening begins at 8:30. Doors open at 8 for seating. Tickets are $45 a person. Seating is limited. Reservations are highly recommended. If you go online, just Google The Warehouse Valentine's Day. You'll get the details and a way to secure your tickets.
Very cool. Hey, some great theater that's coming up at the IRT on the upper stage. Lois Lowry's The Giver. If your kids have read this play, or I'm sorry, this book, actually, that the play is based on, then you definitely want to take them to it. It's sort of a young adult novel, won the Newbery Award before, but it is a cross-generational story. It deals with this utopian society, and it is really well done. It's being directed by Courtney Sale, who is the director of Christmas Carol this year, and looking forward to that. It opens on January 23rd at the IRT. That is The Giver.
Well, you know that you can go to the Jazz Kitchen for Valentine's Day, but here's something fun coming up this coming Monday. That's the 19th. That's MLK Day. From 7 to 10, no cover charge. You're going to be hearing the Icarus Ensemble, which is a multi-talented group of guys who play classical, jazz, and pretty much everything in between and beyond. They're playing in support of a new album that is going to be released soon, and stay tuned to The Art of the Matter. You'll hear more about that album. But the Icarus Ensemble at the Jazz Kitchen, Monday, January 19th, 7 to 10, no cover charge. Go out and have a nice dinner and listen to some nice, cool, and hot tunes.
Hey, something I'd mentioned before one of our calendars during the holidays, but I'm really excited about this show that's coming up at the Center for the Performing Arts this weekend on the 16th and 17th at the Tarkington. It's Diavolo, Architecture in Motion. It's sort of a mix of circus and martial arts and stunts and gymnastics and performers and sculpture.
Wow.
Because they use sculpture in a lot of their work. Very, very cool. Definitely fun for the whole family. A group called Diavolo, and they are performing this weekend at the Tarkington in Carmel.
Hey, opening this Saturday and running through September 7th, so you've got pretty much 9 months to check this out. What's Your Style? Express Yourself, which is a new digital experience with on-site components at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis. Very kind of high-tech, but also hands-on. Children and families will be inspired by famous and everyday fashions on display from one of the coolest closets around the Children's Museum's textile collection. And you may be saying, I didn't realize the Children's Museum had a textile collection.
I didn't realize the Children's Museum had a textile collection,
here's
Sharon.
Here's your chance to go check it out and express your own fashion sense and talk with your kids about what makes something fashionable.
Huh.
Indeed. Opens this Saturday, the 17th.
That's kind of cool.
You know, you don't have to have a kid in tow to go there.
To grown the
ups are welcome.
Right.
You don't have to wait for the adult
they
swim
don't make
night.
You prove you have
they
a kid.
They don't make, no.
Well, and you can always learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis's Indian Arts Guide website, or listen to us next week on that calendar we call
What'll We Do? And Go Colts!
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
Actors Theater of Indiana, or ATI, the resident professional theater company of the Studio Theater at the Center for the Performing Arts, will present The 39 Steps from January 30th through February 15th. Based on the 1935 Hitchcock thriller, the play The 39 Steps is actually much more of a slapstick comedy, with four actors playing more than 150 characters. Travis DiNicola spoke with director Richard Roberts and actors Don Farrell and Lisa Ermel about the show.
Richard, Don, Lisa, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you all.
Thanks so much for having us. Good to see you, Travis.
Good to see you guys, too. I'm really excited to talk to you about 39 Steps because this is such a crazy fun play. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But, Don, I'm going to start with you just for that background on for those who are thinking, you know, it's a new year and maybe a good resolution is to go to a theater I've never been to before. What is Actors Theater of Indiana?
Actors Theater of Indiana, we're celebrating our 10th season since we moved here from New York City and started the theater company back in 2005. Can't
That's
believe
awesome.
It.
Good for you.
We made it to 10 years.
That's
Woo!
A big deal.
We're enjoying our 10th anniversary season. We started with My Fair Lady, then Pete and Keeley, Frog and Toad for the holidays, and mm-hmm. now 39 Steps. And we close our season out in May with the roller skating extravaganza of Xanadu.
Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, we're bringing original assistant choreographer on the Broadway production to choreograph the production
That's
for
awesome.
Us. And the director is coming in from New York, Billy Kimmel, and Alison Bibikoff will be choreographing. We're
okay.
really, really excited about that.
I did not know anyone did Xanadu anymore.
I know. You'll see roller skating in the studio theater at the Center for the Performing Arts. It's going to be crazy.
That's a hoot. Yeah, and that's your home base at the center, the studio theater. That's where you do all your shows. You're the resident theater company for there.
We're the resident professional theater company at the Center for the Performing Arts, the mm-hmm. only equity theater company of Hamilton County. And mm-hmm. we are thrilled to be at the Center for the Performing Arts in the city of Carmel. There's such great support. And the people there are just marvelous. And the staff at the center are just top notch. So we love it there.
Wow, cool. Well, you know, and here I was already talking about 39 Steps. I'm kind of intrigued about Xanadu. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But 39 Steps. This is a little bit different, I think, for Actors Theater. I mean, I think you guys do a lot more musicals. You do a lot of musicals, whether it's musical reviews or revivals or what have you, and some great shows. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Frog and Toad is sort of your annual holiday show. But 39 Steps, this is just one wacky, weird, strange, fun play.
It's going to be perfect for our audience, too. They love it.
Yeah, how'd you choose to do this?
Well, you know, we always try to, right now, we're trying to always keep at least one play into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it, like you said, is musical theater or reviews. And that's kind of our specialty. Myself and Judy Fitzgerald and Cynthia Collins, who've co-founded a theater company with me, we're all musical theater primarily backgrounds, but we also do plays as well. And we love theater as well, all across the board. But trying to find something, this play kind of plays into, you kind of feel in a way it's a musical. You walk away with a pep in your step. A lot of people think Hitchcock, oh, it's going to be scary and dark. And well, you know, it is a tip of the hat to the movie is. But this is hysterical. It's like a mix-up of Monty Python meets Mel Brooks meets Alfred Hitchcock. It's crazy.
You know,
it's so much fun.
The funny thing is, I mean, when I first saw that Actors Theater was doing 39 Steps, and I've seen the show before and love the show. But for a moment, I was like, wait a second, is that a musical? And I was trying to remember if there were musical numbers in it. So Richard, you're the director of this.
Yes.
Tell me a bit more about the show, because it is just it is an odd show. I mean, do you know much about the history of how it was developed from
this Hitchcock
movie?
I know the two playwrights, not the two playwrights, but the two original actors developed this idea and worked with a playwright to develop it in England, in a tiny little theater in northern England. And then they took it to London, and it was a massive hit. Then they took it to Broadway. And then it's been done at all the regional theaters all over the country. It's just been a huge hit wherever it goes.
It is.
And the idea behind it is that you take a big movie and do it on a tiny little stage with four actors.
Mm-hmm. Who play, 150 characters?
It's an insane idea.
Yeah.
And that insanity is a great part of the fun. Going there to watch these actors on a high wire act and see how well they do and where they occasionally fall, which we hope will be places that we have planned for them to fall. It's great fun.
Yeah. I mean, it shares the name, 39 Steps, and the basic plot.
It actually follows the plot
and follows
very
closely,
very faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
But it just twists everything just enough to be wrong and very, very funny. And it also is, I'm a huge Hitchcock fan, and so it has all those elements of comedy and suspense and romance that Hitchcock movies has. It has a lot more comedy, but it doesn't lose the suspense and romance. And plus, it adds in a bunch of other little Hitchcock moments that are very delightful.
References to other Hitchcock
references
films.
References to other movies, yeah.
Sure.
Sound is, because we're doing a movie on stage, sound is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Because we can't have, 40 different sets on stage. We can't have 40 different actors. So sound is a huge part of it, and we're using a lot of music from other Hitchcock movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a fun, if you're a fan of Hitchcock, as I am, it's great fun to see something that you love being made fun of. In a loving way.
In a loving way.
And if you're not a fan of Hitchcock, it's just
funny. It's still fun.
It's just funny.
Now, part of the success of this show relies on the pacing. It is a fast-paced, slapstick type of piece with, of course, I mean, none of the actors are really in on the joke, but they're moving so quickly between characters and scenes.
Right.
That's got to be a challenge to direct.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lisa only plays four or five different characters.
Yes.
Only.
Don here
only. Right.
plays 20.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's a little identity crisis sometimes.
Sometimes.
Who am I?
Which is so much fun to watch in rehearsal as we're trying to navigate around each character to character. So that's a really fun challenge for us to have.
Now, Lisa, this is the first time that you're performing with Actors Theater
of
Indiana, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so how'd you get roped into this?
It didn't take too much convincing at all. It was this show is by far one of my favorite comedies.
And especially, it's one of those things that every actor kind of dreams to get the opportunity to perform in, because you mm-hmm. get to do so many different things. And to be able to do it with a cast that you trust so much and a director you trust so much is even more rare, I think. So it's very, very exciting to be able to be charged with that responsibility.
How many, I mean, do you break it down into scenes or vignettes? I mean, it seems like there must be so many of them.
I just was working on it this afternoon. I should know exactly how many scenes there are.
I mean, I would think both, I mean, for an actor, too, I mean, that's, I mean, a challenge, because you're, you know, you may do like one piece that's 30, like
33 scenes in the play.
Okay, so mm-hmm. one may be like a few seconds even, and then exactly. the next one may continue on for a bit, and you're shifting mm-hmm. gears so
and,
quickly.
Yes, and one, you're playing one character, and the other, you're playing 10
yes.
within like three, four
right
pages.
There. That's, the, train that's scene, yeah. the big one right yeah. now. For that's some quick.
There are
pace
four actors in the cast. Mm-hmm. One actor, Logan Moore, plays Richard Hannay, who's the leading man.
And yeah, he gets the easy part.
That's the only character. Yeah, yeah, well, he has the easy part. Right. He's on stage for every minute of the play and hardly yeah. ever stops talking. then Lisa plays all of the women in the play, but mm-hmm. also a couple men. Mm-hmm. And then
Ian McCabe
and Don here play about 20 roles each.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the other people that we sort of allude to.
Right.
That we don't actually have bodies on stage, but we talk to them because they're invisible.
So, I mean, this is a very, very different type of play to put on than, you know, maybe let's say The Odd Couple or mm-hmm. or, you know, other things, you know, that that Actors Theater has done. Is the rehearsal process different? I mean, tell me a little bit about that, or your preparation as an actor. Because so much of this is about having fun with it being a play mm-hmm. and the performance and sort of, you know, taking advantage of being on a stage, that it's got to be a different type of preparation, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's well, for so many different characters, you have to find what's going to make each one of these people unique. Obviously, like Richard said at the first day of rehearsal, you know, each one of these characters believes 100% as to what they're doing. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, so it's not being a, but even, you know, subtlety, it might not be quite the heavy part of this play. It's not definitely.
Fair enough. I used the word subtle in rehearsal yesterday, and everybody was like, what?
What does that word mean?
But you know, whether it has to do with obviously the different accents, trying to get those down under our lips, teeth, tongue,
yes.
But also the physicality of them, the age, the walk, the, you know, whether it's a male or a female, mm-hmm. how they, you know, it's uh-huh. That's also been fun too, to try to find the different.
I think one of the biggest challenges in the play is I am, pardon my French, a laugh whore. I will go for any laugh that I can find. But on this, at the same time, you're trying to tell a story.
Right.
And finding the balance between what's funny and continues the story and what's just silly and funny and pulls you out of the story. That, I think, is one of the challenges of the process.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Lisa?
Something that I think, well, you keep saying, you know, it's so different.
Yeah.
But it is also so universal in that the drama is what's funny. And mm-hmm. I think that is something that's so great about it, is that giving us the opportunity to laugh at our drama and mm-hmm. laugh at that. And then going over the top with that drama is what makes it so funny. And it gives us the opportunity to laugh at ourselves. And I think that that's really wonderful.
So will any of you ever be able to watch the movie in the same way again?
Oh, never.
Oh, no.
I disagree. I love the movie. Yeah. I'm a huge Hitchcock fan.
Did you get together as a group and watch it before you started
this? We didn't watch it together, but we all watched it separately.
Yes.
And we've talked about it.
A good uh-huh. reference point, definitely.
Yes, it is. It definitely is.
And something to say about the rehearsal process, because
yeah.
you mentioned that, and what makes it different is it's so collaborative so far. It's really mm-hmm. been lovely that everyone is offering their ideas, and that Richard's been really wanting to elaborate on them and build on it. And it's just been, it makes it feel like it's really ours,
yeah.
which I think is really great.
A room full of people is so much smarter than just one person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's always great to bring things in.
Yeah, I would think that there'd be a lot of room to be very playful in the rehearsal process here mm-hmm. and to allow for discovery and sharing. And I could see, you know, each of you going, oh, wait, that works, or try, you know, that
yeah.
sort of thing. Yeah.
And the playwright also gave us a lot of license
yeah.
in his foreword with the play, saying, yeah, how did
the playwright says, you know, do what works for you.
Yeah. Which is nice. That's great to have that freedom
awesome.
And that license.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I wish you all the best with your rehearsal process and looking forward to it opening January 30th. And thanks so much for coming in Art of the Matter today. Have fun.
Thank you very much. And one last thing. We really couldn't do this without the support of our sponsor, Pedcor Companies. They have been amazingly great supporters of the arts and the community. So tip of a hat to them.
Excellent. Richard, Don, Lisa, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Travis DiNicola with Richard Roberts, Don Farrell, and Lisa Ermel. The Actors Theater of Indiana's production of The 39 Steps takes place from January 30th through February 15th at the Studio Theater in Carmel. More information is available at actorstheaterofindiana.org, actorstheaterofindiana.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll chat with one of the visiting magicians who's part of this year's Indianapolis Winter Magic Fest.
I'll find out about Butler Professor Alex Lambert's new documentary about the tragic outcome of school bullying.
I'll chat with the guys from Time for Three about their new WFYI TV special. Plus, there'll be that arts calendar we call
What Do We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.